Praise and thanks be to the Lord that we believe this with all our hearts, that the Lord will soon appear, and indeed we want to be ready to stand before Him and enter with Him into His glory. I would like to read a short word before we pray from Hebrews chapter 4, from verse 14 to 16. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Up to here, this precious and wonderful Word of God. The Word speaks for itself. We know that people might not understand us in this present state, in this present life, but He understands us. For the Bible says here, He was tempted just like all of us. And nobody needs to say that he is not tempted. Everyone who has become a believer has to go through temptation. But praise and thanks be to the Lord for these precious words that are written here. Let us hold fast to Him and not let go, because we know His coming is very near. It is necessary for us to turn ever closer to Him, to come ever closer to Him, and to receive ever more of what is needed for His appearing. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I think also tonight to come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May the faithful God be merciful to us tonight. May we come to the throne of grace, as we have read. For this purpose, we have also come together again, to come before Him. Let us do it now. Let us rise. May some give thanks to God in brief prayers. We thank You also for this hour of grace, for Your comforting word, that we may approach the throne of grace even tonight. There is still grace. Lord, we don't want to miss to come before You. And we pray, Lord, may You help us where we are in need, in all things, Lord. For You alone are able to help us. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank You that You helped me. Lord, I thank You for helping us all. Glory to Your wonderful name. We worship You in this evening hour and give You glory. Lord, continue to be with us now. May all things be done to the glory of Your name. Lord, I pray with all my heart, take everything away that is disturbing, that is not pleasing to You. Savior, take all things into Thy hands. I ask it in Your precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. I held a funeral this morning. Sometimes we are called to bury people we didn't even know. But it's always a welcome opportunity to bring the word of the Lord. And I think also my brothers, take these opportunities with all the heart. Because on days like this, people are responsive. And what comes out of it, God alone can bring about. And the decision, after all, is up to the individual. Yes, of course, I keep thinking about what God has done, about the time in which we are, about the near return of the Lord, and my thoughts are alive. And recently, we and perhaps one or the other are thinking about how things are going to be. And we all agree that God has a way, even if we don't see it now. And we are all convinced that God will bring His work to completion. I said to someone, or we spoke to each other, if we can't deal with the past, we can't deal with the present, and we can't deal with the future. And if we can't deal with that, we won't be ready for the rapture. The one interlocks with the other. The one draws the other after it. And I have even thought about this. If we were to find the cause, we would not yet have the prescription to carry out the treatment. It is said again and again in Brother Branham's sermons that a good doctor makes a diagnosis and then starts the treatment from there. And that is true. But when it comes to spiritual things, we need the power of God, the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. There my and your good suggestions, my and your advice, my and your doing, your and my solution are not a solution. Your treatment and mine are not promising. But we have the Holy Scripture before us, and in it there is a great deal of comfort, a great deal of confidence. And when I read the words from Hebrews, the thought came to me that is expressed on the next page. It came to my mind, and I will read it briefly. From Hebrews 6, Hebrews 6, from verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Here the apostle wanted to point out that we do not always and always and always stop at the principles of the doctrine, but to rise up in faith and to go forward in faith with our God. I can imagine, I've certainly said this here, and perhaps elsewhere. If men of God and children of God in their faith life had come with the same thing over and over again, then there would never have been a progression, a progress. If Peter had come every time at every meeting and said, "Lord, I'm so sorry that I did not stand firm. I'm so sorry that I denied you. I'm so sorry that I failed." If he had started this at every meeting and at every opportunity, then the outcome of the service could have been announced from the beginning. Then nothing would have come out of it. He told the Lord this once, and the Lord turned to him and comforted him and even told him something that he would have to carry out when the time came. If Paul had thought at every service, "Oh, I sentenced Stephen. I watched over the clothes of those who stoned him. What would have become of it?" Then he would have turned around in circles and again turned around until he himself no longer knew where his left and right, up or down. I think we have to understand by the grace of God that our entire life, our life of faith, has been included in God's plan of salvation. From the first day to the last, with all ups and downs, with what may hit our lives or come in. Here the apostle writes that we cannot start again and again from the beginning of Christ's doctrine, but must depart from it in order to go forward, and that to full maturity shall we rise, and shall not lay the foundation again about repentance and this and that, and go round and round in circles, but by the grace of God put our trust in the Lord, the living God, who is still the same today and will remain so forever. Of course, we come to the throne of grace every time because we are human beings in need of grace every day, every hour, every moment. But this grace is there for us according to the scripture, "To whom I am gracious, I am gracious." People practice mercy until they explode, until they run out of patience, and then it is over. Our Lord has become a faithful high priest. He came into this flesh with the intention of not judging from above, but to put himself in our place, to walk here on this earth, to go through everything, so that he could then understand us correctly and intercede for us. We then heard the word of Joshua, actually a strange word, when the Lord says here, "Today I will begin to make you great in the eyes of all Israel." We know, he who humbles himself will be exalted, and God has ways and means to do what is right at the right time. Joshua had the promise, but had to wait until the hour of God had come, and the commission was given, and the time of God had come. The Lord spoke to Joshua. This is what we are waiting for the Lord to speak, not what men say. I have resolved that I will not listen to that until the last day of my life. And if this upsets you a little, then I ask you for patience. But in the speaking of the Lord, there is always that which is necessary for the particular hour. And when the Lord speaks, He will also be there when what He announces is carried out. If He is not there, then people speak and announce something. Then there is the flop. Then you can go all the way to the Jordan and at best still go in. And in the end, you got only wet without having crossed over. If it is people, then it is doomed to fail. If it is God who is speaking, then it must be as He has spoken. And that's where Brother Bram says, if a man speaks in the name of the Lord, and what he says does not come to pass, then he has spoken of himself. And we are to pray until the Spirit that spoke or bewitched is taken away from us. And if I take out the right here today because it offends me a little, and afterwards it will certainly be out, and all things that are out will no longer hinder you. You are rid of them, but perhaps others are burdened with them. Here too, you have to be very careful that you don't get rid of things yourself and burden others with them, but that we can bring everything together under the cross. But it happens to me from time to time in these days that I reconstruct some things and remember and delve into some conversations or talks. I remember it like it was today. I was sitting in this brother's house and he said, God has revealed that the mighty work of God will begin with our son Michael. I sat in his living room that Sunday morning and listened to all this. The son Michael has long since died, and nothing has been fulfilled. I had to think about many things during these days, and I asked myself the question, what is left of all that men have spoken? Only what God has really said, that is what will remain in the end. All the wishful dreams that even many have when they are awake, not all dream at night. There are many who dream by day. They lie down and their fantasy goes wild. They can have their eyes closed, but it's their fantasy. We can all do without that. What we want is such a response from God that He stands by. A response that is not just in words, but in action. Here, the Lord says, today I will begin, as if God has to begin somehow. But all things have a beginning somewhere. Moses' ministry had a beginning. The Lord appeared to him in the burning bush. And that was the divine beginning. Joshua had already experienced much with the Lord, but now he wanted to begin to do something with this man that all Israel should have a part in. And it says, I will be with you. That is what matters. It is enough for me. I say this here very freely and openly. It almost makes me envious, if you understand it right. Or let a jealousy arise when you see how God was with these people. And that was already in the Old Testament, where there had been no reconciliation at all through Golgotha. What should be in the New Testament? What a presence of God! What a working of the Holy Spirit! A manifestation of God's power in the midst of His people. For if He can use someone, then He glorifies Himself through it. God was not about Joshua. It was about God realizing His promise with His people. And that is what He did. That God has always needed people, we know that. But the ultimate goal of our God is to fulfill the word He has given and the promises He has made. And He is looking for people today in whom He can vindicate His word and realize His promises. They will be people who firmly united in the love of God look to the Lord, the author and finisher of faith. People who no longer listen to what men say, but to what God has said. And I don't think there is anyone who has listened to God's word for years who could object to a single point that has not been taught biblically. But the complaint is not in this. And we shall find that God will triumph over all. When His hour has struck and His time has come, there will be no delay and no stay. The time of waiting is a time of trouble, a time when patience is tested and our faith is put to the test. But our faith is, after all, anchored in God and His Word. We have not followed cunningly devised fables, but the true Word of God. You know, if my person is touched, I don't mind at all. But when Brother Branham, or the message, or God's Word is touched, I do tend to say something. And even if in human spheres maybe something would not be as it could have been, then God's word still remains supreme and standing above it all. I somehow heard the year 77 and the complaint that nothing has happened. Don't worry about it. Without the will of God, no sparrow falls from the roof. God may have let some things come to see how we are on the inside, whether we would stand firm in the test that would come upon us, or whether we take offense and say, here he must have got it wrong. And we don't realize that we are the ones who are wrong. Not a man of God, not a prophet. And if he in this case has taken over the calculation of someone else and passed it on, as he did, then surely for a purpose. And the purpose could be to test us, how we stand with God and with His Word. But I tell you, he who wants to throw a stone at a dog will find a stone very quickly. You don't have to wait long. We can distract from everything what concerns us and try to turn the attention to others. But we will not succeed. Each one stands before his God and will only get the answer when we no longer see the other, but recognize ourselves before the face of God. Then he will bless us, be with us, and will indeed turn curse into blessing. And then we will see the fulfillment of the Word of God. We have also heard that a second circumcision was performed among all those who were brought out of Egypt. This was necessary before they crossed over into the land of Canaan. If God is now performing a circumcision on our hearts, a circumcision of the Spirit by the sword of His Word, then let us be thankful to Him for it. But somehow, there must be a multitude that endures, that perseveres to the end. And sometimes you even hear how blessed it is not to go into the meeting. Yes. Yes, you say, my God. But that is the latest blessing. The latest blessing. I can't agree with that because it's against God's word. And anything that is against God's word, and if it's an angel from heaven, let him be cursed. The Holy Scripture says, do not forsake the assembling together. It doesn't say, get out of the boat because this or that has happened. It is precisely then that help is needed. Then everyone can throw in the towel. But the sad thing is that people really lose their orientation. And it becomes a matter of feeling more holy and more righteous and better than everyone else. And that will not stand its ground before God. We may sometimes wonder, I'm the last person who would want to imply that God is with those who have suffered heavy blows of fate and that he just leaves the healthy ones aside. But he himself said it, our Lord, the healthy do not need the doctor, but the sick do. And that is really so in the earthly. When a healthy person goes to the doctor, he is missing something somewhere, and if it were in the head. But the sick, he needs a doctor, and it does him good when what needs to be done is done. But it was our Lord who all those who had no sin at all, who said to our Lord, "You are born in sin, and you want to teach us. Thou hast," and so forth. You know the scriptures. He said to them in the Gospel of John, probably in chapter 5, "You are of your father the devil." And they had referred to Abraham and all sorts of things. He said it to their faces. And they cried out, "We are not born in adultery." Yes, they weren't. But they were not legitimate children of God. They had passed by what God had done. And that's the big trouble. That's the big trouble. Also in this time. Only where God can do something in our heart will eternal fruit come forth. And once you think about that, these are not my words, these are the words of God, that the Lord, the seed of Abraham, to those who had the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, that both he and John, both called them serpents, generation of vipers. People who were outwardly blameless, infallible. Brother Branham said at one point, if one had been guilty of anything, he would have been stoned. We have been through all that. We have not only heard it in theory, we have experienced it. But what does the Lord do? What do the ways of God look like that others of us have walked? What does the way of God look like? Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Israel, a covenant people who referred to Moses, to Abraham, to God. And the Lord says, your father is the devil. A serious word. This they certainly did not forget him. And with that they went to the grave and are also lost. But God had a people on earth, simple people, who came to him and to whom he could reveal himself. What is left of that time? And I certainly have more part in spreading the message, the prophetic message, like everyone else in that generation. What is left? What does God want to do? You can refer to Brother Branham and to many a prophet. What is left in your heart and in mine, in your life and in mine? Only where the Spirit of God can really create something new in your heart and in mine. Something new. And I was reading today the correction of a sermon, a quote from Brother Branham that we all know. He says, if you disagree with your brother and you sit down and you have an exchange and he gives it to you and you give it to him and you don't love him afterwards as you loved before, something is wrong with your experience with God. Where is the standard? Where is that which is the love of God that is above all. And Brother Branham said, I would rather be wrong in doctrine, but right in my heart. And we want both, and he wanted it too, to be right in doctrine, to be right in our heart. But only God can bring all this about by grace. The question that moves me is this: what is left of all that God has done? What will cross over? We have read here the story of Joshua, and it says here that all, even the brave warriors, have all perished. Only the new generation has crossed over. In chapter 5, it says here, we can read it from verse 6, for the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness, till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land, which the Lord sware unto their fathers, that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. We have the promise, and it may be that it will be fulfilled shortly, that the return of the Lord is near. Who will cross over into the land of promise? It does not always have to be the old warriors. They can prove stiff-necked at a certain and decisive hour and think they have accomplished many things, and the Lord has to leave them behind and take a young generation to whom he could reveal himself and who are grateful and go over with him. How many of those who went out at the beginning will be left at the end to cross over with them? Perhaps was the time too long to hear and take in too much, but too little, whether it's me or all of us or even those who may not be here. We have heard and absorbed so much, we may not have been able to take it all in, but God will have a remnant. And you remember years ago, have we talked about not wanting to miss the connection to the work of God. And come what may, God has a plan, and he is carrying out that plan. And he says, my counsel shall come to pass. And the psalmist says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught, and his counsel stands forever. Here it says, and with this we come to the end. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, these seven nations in the land of Canaan. It was not the people of Israel who drove out. The Lord went before them and cleared the way. He cleared up the enemy forces And he let his people get possession of that what he had promised them. I have a strong suspicion that enemy forces need to be cleaned up. And you all know, when it comes to that, it's not done with words. Then someone has to come, like the Lord's captain here, with a drawn sword in his hand, to go ahead and defeat and overcome everything. Where other spirits are involved, the authority of the Spirit of God and the power of the name of Jesus Christ must be used so that the victory of God can be revealed. We have no trouble at all to say that with our power nothing is done. We can go and give a funeral speech. We can still do some things. But when it comes to defeating the power of the enemy, we need the power of God, who has already defeated the powers of the enemy, to go forward in faith and trust God to do it. And the Lord first told his disciples, I give you power over all spirits, that you may cast them out and heal every infirmity among the people. I tell you the truth. I have no trouble believing God's promises and word, for God's word is true. I only have the trouble, as I said earlier, to come to terms with the past. And I urgently ask you to pray for me, not because I have no faith. I believe with all my heart. But I do not only want to believe. I want to see the arm of God revealed. And to do that, I need to be pulled out of everything that is tearing me down. And as the songwriter sings, Lord, set me on higher ground, on faith ground, on the victory ground of Golgotha. And then we can go forward in faith, and God will bless us. Even if we are few at the moment, God is able to make much out of little. Deep sorrow and deep suffering is with everyone who has the love of God in his heart. But in the end, no one will be able to say anything to anyone else. Only the Lord will be able to do it. And it is in him that we want to put our trust anew today. For what he has promised, he will certainly keep. As he was with Moses, so was he with Joshua. And when the time came, the Lord spoke, and he glorified himself. He confirmed the commission. The instructions were given that they might be carried out. And already he has revealed his power. We wait for God to reveal his power by grace, vindicating his word and fulfilling his promises by faith. For they are all yes and amen, and not one will remain unfulfilled. For this you and I need not to care. For this God has already taken care, and for this he will take care to the end. Let us, as we read in Hebrews, go forward with our God. This is a sermon I have to preach to myself, and I have listened to it and asked God to help me. May God help us and by grace bless us. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. We thank you also for this hour of grace and also for this day that you have given us again. Lord, we don't let you go. Lord, neither do we look to what men say. For people speak a lot. They lead us to the abyss. But your word, Lord, it leads us upward. It edifies us. It brings us comfort. It brings us blessing, Lord. We look to you, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your power, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your help that is here in due time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us again tonight and that you continue to walk with us. Lord, in faith we look up and in full trust. Lord, we don't look at what the devil has destroyed. We look to that, Lord, which you make right, Lord. Thanks be to you, Lord. You are our God. Hallelujah. We worship you and praise your grace. Lord, you will continue to be with us. Bless us, O Lord, and bless those who trust in you. This we pray in the precious name of Jesus. Be thou also with us, Lord, tomorrow and also in the meetings to come. We leave everything to you, Lord. We also pray especially for our brother. Strengthen him after spirit, soul and body. Lord, do it. We ask you urgently, and all of us, Lord, we need you more and more, Lord. Hallelujah. Receive the thanksgiving from all our mouths and hearts. Lord, we expect you to give beyond asking and understanding. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.